Hey there. Welcome to Coffee with the Docs. We are a holistic lifestyle podcast where we give integrative solutions and bring brilliant experts to help you thrive, mind, body, and spirit. We are Drs. Nicole Huffman and Abby Kramer, and we're so happy you're here.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Abby here. Welcome back to Coffee with the Docs. Today's episode was amazing and is loaded with information. We were so happy to have on again Dr. Perry Nicholson. Most of you probably know him as Stop Chasing Pain on social media. And we took a deep dive on the gut-brain axis and the gut-brain connection, what can cause it to go awry, why it's important to address, and things you guys can start doing today to help improve it. So we were so happy with him for being so generous with his time and providing so much good insight. And we hope you enjoy the episode. And our sponsor for today's episode is, of course, Life Boost Coffee. If you guys are looking for a clean coffee company to support and try out, Life Boost is our official sponsor for the podcast. Both Dr. Nicole and I love them. They have regular roasts. They have a decaf that uses a clean process to create their decaf. And they even have coffee flavors that are flavored naturally. So check them out. We'll link to them in the show notes. And you can also use code CWD15 to save on your order. And our other partner for this episode, because we chatted about it with Dr. Perry, is Fringe Red Light Therapy. We talked about how red light therapy can really support improving the gut-brain communication and the gut-brain access by working at the mitochondrial or the cellular level to improve that communication. So doing some red light therapy over your brain, over your head, and over your abdomen, over your gut is amazing for gut brain health. So we will link to that as well for you guys to check out Fringe's red light therapy products and enjoy the episode. All right, everyone, welcome back to Coffee with the Docs. We're super excited to have our guest on today. I think this is your third time on the show.
I'm super excited to be back. Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course. So if you couldn't tell from his voice, Dr. Perry's in the house, Dr. Perry Nicholson, Stop Chasing Pain. So I will have to link your previous episodes in this one, but welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, sometimes my accent gives me away every time that people travel to see me, because I'm in New Jersey, and that's where my clinic is, and I've been in New Jersey since I was 14 years old, and I'm 55, but I'm originally from the deep south of Virginia, the rural south.
Yes.
And people go and they come to see me, "You're not from around New Jersey, are you?" Like, no, that's not a New Jersey accent.
And quite confusing.
My twang comes out in certain situations. When I get angry, it comes out, you know, so it's kind of like the Hulk.
Yes.
And the other one is when I get really, really passionate or I get really, really excited. So just so you know, when the accent comes out today, it's all excitement and passion.
Hopefully not anger. Yeah.
No, we got enough of that going on in the world. You know, anger is not good for your nervous system if you hold on to that for too long.
Yep. We don't need liver issues. All right. So let's have you, for those people who might not be familiar with you and what you do, just give us a quick intro of yourself, who you are, what you do.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Well, as you mentioned before, Stop Chasing Pain is the name of my brand. And I don't even call it a brand. It's really my life calling, to be honest with you. It's my purpose in life. And I knew it the moment that I saw those three words show up on a screen on a wall when I was at a workshop.
How did you come up with that? We've never talked about this.
I give props all the time to my dearest friend and my mentor, and he changed the course of my life in so many different ways. And many people may be familiar with him in the world of healthcare and fitness. It's Gray Cook, who's a
Yes.
really brilliant physical therapist, but also the creator of the functional movement system, the functional movement screen, and the offshoots of that. And I got involved with his work many, many years ago because it just transformed everything. And I was at a workshop in New Jersey, and he had those three words show up on a slide because the whole premise at that point was, look outside of where someone points, where the pain is. And up to that point, that's all I was doing because it was kind of what I was trained to do. If it hurts here, then you go after there. And I was very frustrated because it wasn't working well. I mean, things would feel better for a little bit, but they would always come back. And I just said, this is not acceptable. There's got to be something different. And I wasn't finding it on my own, honestly, to look somewhere else until that showed up. And it hit me just as a shift. It was an energy shift. I'm like, that's big, right? And so the story goes is I immediately jumped on the internet and did a domain name search for Stop
The
Chasing
state
Cancer.
by the domain immediately. Yeah.
And I saw that it was available. So, I joked Grass that I stopped listening to your lecture and I searched for the internet. And then I snagged it. And then I asked him later, right? And I said, is it okay if I use his name after I got it? And he said, absolutely, right? And so it's just like do something and then ask for forgiveness later, sort of deal.
100%.
And it's funny because every time I talk to him or every time I have him on my podcast, I'd say that same story all the time because it was such a big shift in my life. And that's what drives me now is because I still have to talk about it because unfortunately medicine still falls into that trap of just going after the site of pain where something hurts, where people point. And honestly, you should. For one primary reason, your client expects you to. So it shows that you're listening, that you're just understanding, or even if you're just showing empathy, that tell me about your pain. But we need to be better than that. And we need to know that it's most likely coming from somewhere else. And as my dear friend Eric Cobb, who created Z Health, said, you're allowed to have more than one problem. And maybe you have something at the site of pain, but something somewhere else that you need to look at too. And when I came across that, it just lit up this energy in me and it became fun and exciting again to examine the body, to look at the body. And also, I stopped looking at specific sites and I brought back into focus the living, breathing, dynamic, energetic human being in front of me that I need to speak with and talk to and look at the bigger picture. And so that's my mission today is to get that across to healthcare professionals of all type because we're very myopic, we're still reductionistic, and but also to everyday people that fall into that trap.
Yeah,
And
I was going to
that's
say,
what
probably a
yeah.
large part of your audience, I bet, is everyday folks too, that are just like, the regular medical model has failed me or doesn't understand what I'm experiencing, and they really resonate with what you're putting out there.
Probably like yours as well, right? And I think people are innately figuring that out on their own because they're seeing that chronic disease and chronic pain, the numbers are going up, not down. So whatever paradigm model that we have right now, it's not a very good one. And you need to expand beyond that. And but you come to that through a lot of pain and suffering on your own or hitting a form of rock bottom where you have to rescue yourself because what was supposed to work or has been shown to didn't work or doesn't work for you, then what? And so you have to shift your mindset and then Honestly, I tell people when you hit a special form of rock bottom, that's when you really, truly start to learn how the body actually works.
You're forced to.
Yes, you
For the
are.
most part.
Well, most of
Yeah.
our learning that sticks with us is because of that point that we come to. Very rarely do we shift our position when we're comfortable. Because you're comfortable and you think you've got it all figured out, and you're not experiencing pain or discomfort. So you are under the assumption that everything is Wizard of Oz and zippity-doo-dahs and unicorns and rainbows, but it's brewing underneath the surface. And then that's the person who yesterday they were great and today they're not. What's up with that, right? Or you read about somebody, this guy was the picture of health. He used to run every day and then he went out running yesterday and he drops dead of a heart attack. Well, obviously he was not.
Yeah, and the people that argue that they were totally like that totally healthy people just drop dead drives me insane.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the aesthetics of things is, when you look good on the outside, you assume that everything is functioning well on the inside. And that's not the case. And, we've heard this analogy before because it works. That's like going to buy a car on the lot that looks great on the outside, but you've got an engine underneath that barely works. You've got no
Yes.
oil in it, no transmission fluid. You haven't changed your fluids or taken care of it, and who knows how long, but it looks freaking awesome on the outside. Well, good luck driving that for a period of time. It ain't going to work out well for you. And that's what the human body is like.
That reminds me of like anatomy lab in chiropractic school. There would be, cadavers that looked like lean, healthy, whatever, and
Yeah.
you cut them open and they're just like filled with visceral fat.
Oh yeah, isn't that eye-opening? It just goes
Completely.
to show you the power of how the body is very resilient and compensates and adapts and does what it has to do to keep you functioning in life, surviving, basically. But that's not the same thing as thriving. Those are polar opposites, in my opinion. Surviving is very different than thriving. And that's the number one objective for your body is to do whatever it can to, first of all, not be dead. That's goal number one, because nothing works out well when you're dead. And the other one is, well, let's try not to make you have as much pain and suffering as we can. Let's try to decrease it, even though when you feel like you're having a ton. Well, you have to flip that switch, right? I mean, to your body, lots of pain is better than dead. So that's a win right there. And the other one is, trust me, if you don't think it could be worse pain than you got right now, you'd be in for it if the body completely just gave up, right? So you have to flip that objective switch of knowing the body's always doing the best it can with what it's got in the moment it's in to accomplish those goals.
And that's a huge mindset shift for a lot of folks that think their bodies, I'm sure you see this. I see a lot of patients that feel like their body's failing them. And it's like, no. Your body's doing exactly what it's meant to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, those are symptoms that you get, right? Those are the things that your body is doing to try to protect you. But those protections can sometimes come at their own cost, for sure. But the body never does anything without a reason, even if we don't understand what it is. And I tell people, you already know what the number one reason is. I already gave it to you. Surviving and not dying and protection. And it might not make sense to you why it uses pain to do that, but honestly, it does if you step back. It's really freaking effective. Because if something hurts, the idea is it's supposed to get your attention, first of all, and
It's
then
the best way to
hopefully
wake you up.
listen, right? But we usually don't listen, and we maybe it'll go away syndrome, or we ignore it, or worst of all, we smother it and quiet it down. And then it just comes back harder, faster, stronger, where it manifests, in another way besides pain. And it's going to get your attention at some point. and time. Yep. These strategies that it takes is different for everyone, but they're always protective. And the reason that these symptoms keep coming back is because at one point, all of those adaptations and compensations were effective and useful. That's why it chose it. And that's why it continues to choose it, because it worked for it before. Right.
Yep.
And people say, well, how do you know it worked? Well, it's really easy. You're not dead. That's how I know it worked.
Exactly.
So there's a sliding scale of misery that you can learn to adapt on. Right.
Yes. Yes.
But that's really important for people to understand, that these protective strategies are stuff that your nervous system will continually want to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was useful for it in the past. And sometimes it's just letting the body know that there's other options available to it.
Yes, love that for sure. All right, let's take it back for a moment. If you remember, we always ask our guests the same first two questions.
Oh my goodness.
So number one is, what is your current favorite drink of choice? And number two is, what's your latest biohack?
Biohack. Well, the latest drink of choice, honestly, are teas of all types. I'm really into.
I've seen you doing that.
Herbal teas and seeping. I used to be just like get a tea bag, you know, throw it in there and stuff like that. But then I got more into studying some Chinese medicine and Eastern medicine, and you know, the detoxification programs. Mm-hmm. Although I'm really struggling to use that word. I don't really like that word, because it it keys off so many things that when you say that for people.
Yeah.
Of all different types and blending them together. And it's been a big move for me over the last 2 years with the zombie apocalypse, moving away from coffee to teas. Because I used to live on coffee with all of my traveling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My poor adrenal glands were tapping out.
There's
and so now they're saying, thank you for the teas.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, so that's good. And it's actually contributed quite nicely to helping my metabolism and blood sugar levels, and with fasting techniques that I've been playing for me. And what was the second one, the hack?
Biohack, yep.
Oh, okay. Well, it's actually something that I used to do. I'm going to give you two of them that I used to do, but I stopped doing, and I don't know why I stopped doing it. And that's just spending more time grounding, putting my bare feet on the earth. Mm-hmm. So I actually go out in the morning. My neighbors must think I'm out of my mind, but I go out in the morning with the sun coming up and where the grass is still a little wet. And then I just walk around on there and take in sun and get the grounding from the earth. And I love it. It feels so great. It's part of my routine. I call it a ritual now.
Yep.
And the other one, I started to pay a lot more attention to the tongue, which is why I created a specific course about the tongue. And I began to do tongue scraping and oil pulling. Yes. And it's really made a nice difference for me in many, many different ways, specifically for
what
just
have you noticed?
Well, one, my tongue feels freaking phenomenal. So I never knew my tongue could feel so good. And, but my mouth too feels so different, especially my gums, because I unfortunately don't really have a good genetic blueprint for healthy teeth in my lineage.
Yeah.
Despite doing everything to take care of them. And there were periods of time where I had neglect on them as well when I was younger. So I suffered a lot of periodontal disease and gum disease. Mm-hmm. I had receding gums. And at the time, they weren't linking that to inflammation or chronic disease throughout the whole body. Because we used to just separate the mouth from everything else, like we always do. And now they're seeing a big link between the health of your mouth and your gums and the bacteria there to the rest of your body. So my dentist was like, whatever you're doing, keep it up. because my gums started to change how the color and grip to the teeth a little bit better. And I actually noticed that my whole body seemed to respond in a way where, for myself personally, I noticed a little bit less inflammation in places that I used to get it. And then now that I know the linkage between every tooth having its own individual lymphatic drainage channel, that makes perfect sense.
So
that's why I really pay attention to the health of the tongue and the mouth. And then I add some tongue exercise to it as well. And I was like, holy cow, I had no idea my tongue was so weak.
Right. Well, it makes sense. It's a muscle in and of itself.
Right. Yeah. But you know, we don't intentionally train it. Right.
Yep.
Just because you talk all day doesn't mean you have a well-functioning tongue or efficient tongue or strong tongue. That's like, you know, moving my arm all day long, but that's different than going and doing bicep curls.
Yeah.
You don't have a different bicep. Totally. So you just do like tongue curls, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Same thing. And then you realize, wow, you know, if you get stronger in one place, it makes a difference everywhere. Maybe there's something, it's all connected. Story hearing about.
Well, it makes sense that, you know, it's good to remember that importance. Like I know in applied kinesiology, there's like several different techniques where you move the tongue different ways and see how the neurology responds, and it can like indicate a lot of imbalances. So
it's crazy. Like
a good reminder.
You go down or, you know, you don't notice something until you notice it. It's always been there in front of you, but when you pay attention to it, it's quite fascinating of what a pivotal role that structure plays in the body. Yes. And then when you see it and you know it, you can't unsee it and unknow it. And then you have people that devote their entire profession to just working with the tongue. Yeah. Or the oral myofunctional therapy people that do some amazing work to help people. You don't have to do stuff with your tongue and your lips and your jaw and your mouth just because you have a speech issue or a tongue tie or a stroke.
Right.
You can also do it because you just want to stay hashtag bespoke and function really well.
Preventatively. Yeah. Now you're doing that online tongue course. Are you going to be selling the replay of that? Because I know this episode will be out after that.
Yeah. So anytime that I put something new out there, first of all, I only put stuff out that I think is absolutely freaking awesomely fun and fantastic, because I love to teach it. And I only teach stuff that I physically do in the office for clients. And then, but I want to see if the rest of the world thinks like I do.
Sure.
I did the same thing with lymph when I put lymph out about 5 years ago. Is anybody going to be into this thing or get it? But the thing went ballistic. So it was yes. I think the same thing will happen with the tongue, because you see some immediate changes and improvements in there and everybody can do it. So I will most likely do that, offer it as a replay. I'm going to kind of see what the feedback is, how people like it. And also it's going to be my first time teaching the course. So that helps me learn about how I taught it. And did they understand what was in my head, did it come out and transfer into your head or not? Yes. That's what I need to know. And can you apply what I've shown you? Do you even care about what I've shown you? Does it mean something to you? I don't want it to just be information. It has to have some meaning to it. That's why it's a lot of the hands-on things and applicable things and stuff that you can do. And then I'll probably do that, because up to this point, I've always just taught with webcasts where, you know, you're there and you can attend live. And if you register, you can get the replay. But I never recorded something and put it out there and say, okay, you can get it anytime you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to test the waters on that. The tongue one would be pretty cool, honestly. And I didn't realize how much fun I was going to have studying the tongue, because it tied in a lot of underlying neurology that I really wasn't looking at. Because I'm like you, I mean, I'm a brain geek for sure.
But
people get caught up looking at the brain and they forget to look at everything else too.
Right. Totally. Well, that's perfect. If you do end up doing that, we'll definitely link that for people that want to go down that rabbit hole and learn more about it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Plus, it's like, it's really, really important, but there's not a lot of information out there on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't think about the
tongue. No one's doing tongue courses besides you, Dr. Perry. That's for sure.
Probably not, unless you're in the oral myofunctional world, you know, and they have some really fantastic people. But I wanted to have it more of like an everyday thing. So you can pay attention to it, quote unquote, before you might need it. Because I jokingly say that most people only pay attention to their tongue after they bite it.
Yep. It's very true. Or burn it or whatever.
It hurts. And that automatically tells you, because of how sensitive it is, how powerful it is of a connection to your brain. Not to mention it sits right beneath it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. Love that. All right. So we're going to get into the lymphatic system a little bit. So
you got me there. I mean, you got a couple of weeks.
I know. Here we go. We'll do this in a 5-part series.
I could literally talk the rest of my life on lymph. So
I know you're the lymph guy. That's why we got to have you on. So let's start with super basics. People that aren't familiar, because I feel like every time we talk about this, it's becoming more and more mainstream, which is great. Yep. But I still feel like the lymphatic system is kind of just a buzzword. You hear about, dry brushing, this, that, take care of your lymph, but people don't understand what that means. So what is the lymphatic system?
Great question. And, I'm really happy to see that more people are talking about it, that it is on the radar. It's definitely a buzzword right now.
Yep.
And it can make a big difference for people. It really does. And I think that's another reason why it's starting to take hold, because people realize, all I have to do are just a couple of these techniques and it can make me feel so much better. And it does. So that I'm happy about. And it's also becoming more popular because science is beginning to pay a little bit more attention to it because the changes that it's making for people. So that's good. And lymph is kind of like how fascia it used to be. Nobody really talked about fascia. But now you can't turn anywhere without somebody talking about fascia. And just so everybody knows, there's always a fascial issue because everything's wrapped in it. But everything's also a lymphatic issue at the same time, which we'll get into. And cycle back really quickly, your tongue has a ton of lymph in it as well. And people can have toxicity in their tongue and toxicity in their mouth because the lymph can't drain from the mouth down the neck. Yep. To the collarbone. So basically what the lymphatic system is I want people to just understand the system, first of all, and how it relates to all of the other systems. It's part of your immune system, which is a big thing to understand. It's the primary part of your immune system because its job is to kill things that are trying to kill you, right? So stuff gets into your body that you don't want to be in there. It can be bacteria, viruses, toxins from the world, parasites that get in there, cancer cells as well. And it gets rid of, it tries to kill all those things for you. And it does it through these little, what I call mini toilets, that your toilets in your house flush out waste. And these mini toilets called lymph nodes, many people probably have heard of lymph nodes, or you've had some swollen ones usually underneath your neck, maybe around your breast or armpit area, or even in your groin sometimes. And those are detox places. They flush the waste, but they also scan all those toxins, kind of like a barcode scanner when you go to the supermarket and you scan something so it knows if I'm getting an apple or if I'm getting a box of Cheerios, for instance, the difference between the two. And so it scans it there and it tells your immune system what's there and then how to deal with it. That's really, really important to know. Mm-hmm. And if it gets overloaded or overburdened, one, because there's just too many toxins coming at it and it can't keep up. Okay.
Yep.
Eventually, you just start to get sick because it can't take care of the waste. The other one is just through neglect, where you don't do anything intentionally on purpose to help it keep it functioning efficiently, if you read me there. So it's a mixture of both. So it's part of your immune system, and it's also part of your circulatory system. That's the one that most people forget.
Yep.
And that means that the reason it's part of your circulatory system is because the lymph of the body is a particular type of fluid. You've got anywhere between, depends on the resources that you read, 10 to 15 liters of lymphatic fluid in the body.
Wow.
And 5 liters of blood. That already tells you by the nature of the volume.
At least double.
Because lymph is more important. Okay. But the lymph, when it goes through its system, it dumps back into the veins of the body in the circulatory system. And it dumps into the veins specifically at the collarbone, above and below the collarbone in that region. That's the dump site. And from there, then it goes back in towards the heart and the lungs and goes back out in towards the arterial red blood cells. It just changes names. So it becomes plasma at that standpoint. So lymph switches over to plasma, and then plasma turns back into lymph once that comes out through into the body systems again. So there's the loop. Mm. So In my world, veins and arteries are really important because those are the supply chains of everything, every cell in your body that needs to recover, heal, and regenerate.
Yeah,
because the red blood is how you get oxygen and nutrients and hormones to things. Mm-hmm. And then once those cells use all of those things, they create waste. And then that waste has to get out. And it gets out through veins and through lymphatics. And then That takes it to the elimination organs of your kidneys and your lungs and your intestines and all that sort of stuff. So you can pee it out, sweat it out, breathe it out, poop it out, like that way.
Yep. Yep.
So in my world, if you have a lymphatic system issue, you're going to have a circulation issue. And that's important because if you have a circulation issue, you're not healing. Heart stop, period, zero debate. Because you can't get what your cells need to heal themselves.
Right.
And then if you have a circulation problem, you also have a lymph problem because they work together, right? So that's the thing that athletes need to know is that, you don't have to have a lot of puffiness or swelling or sickness or what they call lymphedema, where you have so much swelling in the body because the lymphatics don't work well that body parts become really swollen and puffy with edema. If you're an athlete, you want these things to work well because you want your circulation system to work well. So I can get stuff to the cells. I can train and go harder, faster, stronger, longer. And when you train harder and go beast mode, you break down tissue and cells more often or more efficiently, which means that you create waste more, which now means you better be more efficient at eliminating that waste. Get both ends. That sometimes can be the missing component that they've never really looked at, because I'm going to cycle back to it before. What we talked about is I look freaking great on the outside and I'm a monster. Why should I look at my lymphatics? I just told you why.
Yep.
Right. Yep. It's not about the appearance. And I say, well, you're really good now. Imagine if you could be 1-2% better than you are now. Because when you're at that level, 1-2% puts you on the gold podium.
Yep.
It's silver.
That's the difference between, first and second.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you train at that level, most people are checking off all the boxes. This. And it's usually about intensity at that standpoint. But they missed the boat on the lymphatics or the circulation. Or if they do any blood flow work, it's almost arbitrary. They're just stimulating areas with blood flow and there's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing to it.
Right. Totally.
So there's got to be a system of when you work with fluids of the body, particularly lymphatics and blood flow, or what they call interstitial fluid, the fluid that surrounds the cells, there needs to be a strategy for what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yep.
That makes a difference on your results, but without question, which we can get into later. But, you know, that's why you have to release the lymphatics, which is just a way to say, you know, work with them, massage them, brush them, stimulate them, kind of whatever way that you feel is comfortable for you. But you have to do them in a very specific order to get the most optimal results from what you're trying to accomplish by doing lymphatic work.
Right. Makes sense.
Same with blood. Totally. People forget that you have to do the same thing with blood. Right. That's a big one. And we can go through some examples on it, so people really understand it, because this is one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my almost close to 30 years of doing this stuff. It's not what you do. I mean, that's important, but it's when you do it, where you do it, and the order that you do it in that makes a difference on how well it works.
Yes.
My opinion, it makes all the difference in how it works.
The right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing.
Yeah. You know, or if you're doing the right thing to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the wrong order. If you shift two places around, it makes all the difference on your results. Because that's what I've been experimenting over the last 3 years with the pandemic, with the people that I've been seeing, because the people that end up finding me are really sick. They've been through a lot. Yeah. They have multiple autoimmune diseases or a lot of chronic pain issues in one place or multiple places. And those are the people that have tried a lot of things, and it either didn't work or worked and stopped working. And most of the time they were trying just too many things at once.
Yes.
They were overloading a system, just hoping and praying that something would stick by sheer volume, which is one of the reasons why they probably weren't getting better, because it was an overload.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the other one is there's no strat. People are using all these tactics. Gray Cook talks about this, and that's why we resonate so much. Everybody talks about tactics, but tactics don't work if you got the wrong strategy.
Yep.
Strategy. It's like the art of war with Sun Tzu. You got to have a strategy, you know, and okay, I got you that you're using the tactics, but I want you to tell me why you chose that tactic. And more important, why you chose to start where you are on the body. Why'd you start at the knee? Why didn't you start here? And if you tell me because the knee hurts, I'm going to say, wrong answer.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes complete sense.
That's stuff that I try to teach people about these things, because it seems trivial, but it's not when you're working with the physiology of the body.
Well, especially like you said, in that population of people that, like, sure, there are a lot of like basics that probably for a good percentage of people will work well for them, but that's not who you're working with, right? Like the people you've seen have tried all that stuff already, you know, it's more complex.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, because listen, sometimes things are very straightforward, and your body is amazing. It's always trying to heal you, and it's actually really freaking good at it, honestly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes X does mark the spot. If you just rub and treat where it hurts, and you show it a little bit of attention, or even just show validation to the person that's having the pain, that helps them get better too. Especially for a traumatic onset where, you know, there's something directly immediately done to an area, which means that if I hit my knee, I pay attention to my knee's probably going to feel better, right?
Yeah.
It's a completely different strategy than my knee was great yesterday, but today it hurts and I don't know why. Well, that's totally different, the way you got to go after that. But yeah, and you can take care of it and it's great, right? But the people that I see, and that's one of the things that I love about what I do, is because it actually helped me learn to think differently, because I had to say to myself, it's the What's that Einstein quote? I think he said it, you know, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So people come in to see me and I'm like, okay, you went here, here, here. They did this, 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 and you're not better. And then I'm going to say, okay, well, how about we don't do any of that then?
Yeah. Cross all those off.
Because, you know, if it was what you needed, you would be better now, or you've had all these different tests and then they say they may not have been able to find anything, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
So many things you can't find on a test. You have to find it by hand and observation. So I automatically began to think differently of, okay, well, you've done these things. Let's not do these things. But then I started to play around even more to say, okay, well, you had all these things done, but I want to maybe, where did they do them to and what order did they do them in and how many did they do at once? Mm-hmm. But then I can start to play around because one of the things that I heard somewhere, and I can't remember the guy who said the quote, it hopefully come to me soon, but he said that you have to remember that therapeutic interventions, the stuff that we're doing to help people, are also stressors to the body.
Yep.
If you've been under a lot of pain, a lot of emotional duress or issues in your life, you probably can't tolerate a lot of stress. Your stress threshold drops. And so even when I do something beneficial for you, it can overwhelm you very quickly.
Yeah.
And then your protective mechanism comes in. And what's your protective mechanism when you're in chronic pain? Well, I just told you what it is. It's pain. Right?
Yep. Yep.
So
totally. I've seen that with a lot of patients. You have to like build up their system before they can even heal, detox, get stuff moving, whatever, because they're just so depleted. Like, healing takes energy.
Absolutely. Sure. And you know what? People also, they get very stressed about what you give them to do to help themselves. One is like, am I doing it right? It's particularly with movement. And so they start to say, I don't know if I'm doing it right. How hard should I go? How many reps should I go? How often should I go? So they're just like this.
Yep. Yeah.
So you have to kind of peel them back from that and let them explore a little bit, just do a little bit less, but start to trust themselves, trust their intuition, because they get obsessed about the quantity of things,
the details, the
quality of things. And some of those habits that cause the stress in their life, of, you know, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it all the time and I'm going to do it perfect. They bring that to their therapeutic intervention. So they're just feeding that dragon in the cave all the time.
Yes.
And they're wondering why they're not getting better.
Yep. I see that a lot, you know, where it's like, okay, this doesn't need to be another stress on you. Like, that's the last thing you need. So let's start with one thing, you know, because I think, like you said, I see so many patients come in, you know, they're doing 18 different things a day, taking 35 different pills, like doing sauna and this and that, you know, it's like, whoa, let's like rein this back, you know, because just even trying to heal is like one of the most stressful things in their life then.
Yeah. And that's overwhelming too, to try to fit all that stuff in. And then remember, your body has to deal with all the stuff you're doing to it.
Yep. Well, yeah. Can you even absorb and utilize the 35 different supplements you're taking a day?
Yeah. And then once again, all those supplements turn into waste.
Yep. Yeah. So, then you got to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're not open on the back end, what you put on the front end ain't going to work so well. Mm-hmm. And it's the Goldilocks syndrome from the old fairy tale of, you know, not too hot, not too cold, just right. I found that it's got to be very individual when you do therapy interventions, from how often, how many reps, you know, you can't give a cookie cutter sheet of this is how many you do for a back thing, or research says does 15. Well, if my client wasn't in your research study, I don't care. I'm not doing 15 because they weren't anywhere near your study. Yep. Because here's what I found. You can give somebody too many rules and they get overwhelmed because there's too many rules and they're like, I can't keep up.
Yeah.
But so that's too hot. Too cold is where I say, just play, explore. That overwhelms it because they're like, there's so many possibilities. Yep. I don't even know what to do. And what I discovered a long time ago is nothing more is more terrifying than the idea of unlimited possibilities.
Mm.
So that's too cold. So what you have to do is you need to give them some barometers to work within. And then I tell people the only way you're going to know is to just start. And how about you pick it and you see what you're comfortable with and how it feels and what kind of changes that you make. It's just.
And that's teaching them to listen to their body, which is so huge. I have patients ask me that all the time. I'm like, you're going to know, your body will tell you real quick. You know, when you're like, if 10 reps is too much, you're going to hurt. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to whatever. I can't tell you that. But I think people have been so disconnected from even listening to that. They're just plowing through whatever they think they should be doing.
Yeah, because they're going to hit their target because you told them to hit it, but they're not going to really be present when they're doing it.
Yep.
Harry told me to get 5 and I'm going to do 5, whether I feel like doing 5 or whether it hurts or not, even though he told me not to. But that teaches something that's awareness is the word, right? You're paying attention to what you're feeling.
Yes.
And you're not judging it as well. So that's something that we talk about in the world of healthcare and neuroscience and stuff is the awareness, sensory awareness. You have the exteroception. Extero is stuff that external to your body. You're paying attention to sights, sounds, smells, you know, feels against your skin, stuff like that. But then you also need to go inside the interoception and pay attention to what you're feeling inside of there, right? And that's the communication. That's your body having a conversation with you. And that's the one, both of them, honestly, people are so disconnected from it. And that they're reading those signals as, you know, pain signals as punishment signals.
Right.
Which I understand that it's easy to do, especially when you've been suffering for a long period of time, because you just want to get better. But I can promise you this, if you fall into a stage of resentment of your body, shame for your body, or attacking your body, it's not going to work out well for you in the long run.
Yep.
Because your cells are always listening to that conversation. And I tell people, just flip that around and imagine that you're having a relationship with another person in your life and you come at them with anger and resentment. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're in their face like that. And I'm coming in too hot, overwhelming them. Well, I'm not going to want to be around you either, man. I'm going to go the other way. And it's the same thing for your body. And usually you don't get to that point until you hit a certain level of suffering where you begin to get the feedback from your body that pay attention. So pain, once again, is the attention getter.
Yep, for sure.
But it's also the last thing you feel, not the first. Your body usually sends you a lot of other different alarm signals along the way before it has to hit you over the head like a Bugs Bunny cartoon with pain.
Yes.
Yep. Maybe you haven't slept well for 5 days straight and you haven't been drinking water for 2 weeks and you've neglected all of the fundamentals and the basics and the self-care. And then the body says to itself, well, he's not drinking and he's not sleeping. I know a way to get him to pay attention. I'm going to hurt something quick, fast, and in a hurry. And here it comes. And you focus on where it hurts. And then you go to the doctor and they rub all the ointment on there, but they don't ask you questions like, are you drinking water? How you been sleeping? How are your relationships? What's your nutrition like?
Yes.
If you're missing those boxes, nothing I do in my office is going to work for you for very long.
Yes, basics.
It's all about the basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really comes down to that. And another thing that I learned is that not everybody knows about the basics. And if they do, they don't do them because they think they're so simple that it can't be that That's a big
100%.
Deal.
So I'll do the crazy cleanse, you know, but yeah. Like you said, I'm not thinking about the water I'm drinking or my sleep quality or my stress levels or my nutrition.
Yeah. And I learned a long time ago that when people come in to see me, I said that I'm usually the last stop. Mm-hmm. I used to assume that everybody was asking these questions and checking off these basic boxes. That was a lesson I learned quick, that I had the conversations with them about what's your sleep, you know, what's your water, are you doing any breathing? What's breathing? Okay, well, there's my answer. Are you pooping? If so, tell me about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often? What's it like? Is it different for you? All those things, because those give me a read about all of your body systems, how they're working together. So the what happens is that we have all these specialists in medicine that are really good at focusing on a body part. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, I want to go to a knee surgeon who knows knees for sure, right? But when somebody comes into me, I'm dealing with a full body picture on that. And I look at their history, and it actually has these categories of systems in the past. And I look and see, well, how many boxes have you checked off? Because that's kind of important to know. And that gives me a read on how your overall body is responding to your life story and the stressors in your life. And what I mean by that is that maybe I have somebody who has chronic lower back pain, and everybody's been going after the back with all these modalities to the back, and they're endless, and everyone can be helpful for someone. But if it stops being helpful or doesn't, then you need to think opposite. So that's where I might ask and look at your pooping history. And, you know, you don't go to the bathroom on a regular basis. So your nervous system is taking a hit. So you're probably in a state of sympathetic dominance, fight or flight, which decreases blood flow and increases muscle tension, which is going to give you back pain. And it stops bowel movements. So then you're going to get inflammation and toxicity around your abdomen. The lymph in your abdomen is going to swell. The pressure in your abdomen is going to swell. You're going to put pressure against the abdominal blood flow to your back and the veins from your back and the nerves in your back, and you're going to have back pain. So if I don't take care of that front and take care of your digestion, you're going to go around the low back pain merry-go-round all the time, right? Yep. That's exactly how you need to think of all these systems working together. You can't just isolate. So in my world, I always start where it hurts just to touch it, and, you know, show them that I get it. And then I look everywhere else in the body. Yes. And they're much more open to it in my world, honestly, because they've been through everything else.
Oh, they're willing to try anything, no matter how crazy it sounds, I'm sure.
Yeah. And what you realize is it's not crazy. It's right.
Yep. Totally. Well, it's like the light bulb moment, like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. No one's put all this together for me, I'm sure, is a lot of what you hear.
Yeah, that's the fun part for me, honestly, Doc, is seeing the relationships and the interactions of how the body systems, what they call an ecosystem, works together. Like, what if you do this here? How does it impact that over there? And then why did it impact that?
Right? Yes.
And then that gives you a sense of strategy, if you will, because I know, let's give you an example, if we're okay on time. Let's say that somebody comes on in and they've got some kind of itis in their right foot, plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, you know, whatever. And itis means inflammation. So you got to check all the systems there. It could be musculoskeletal for sure. Could be blood flow, could be lymph, all the answer is yes, it's all of them. How do you know? It's all of them. So you're going to examine that ankle. You look at that ankle and make sure you don't have cancer in your ankle and you didn't tear something, or I need to go in and put pins in it, right? So I rule all those things out. But if I just isolate and treat the ankle, you know, all I'm doing is getting blood flow right to that target in the ankle, because that's what I'm trying to do, is get blood flow there. And I'm trying to get inflammation out and decrease pain. Mm-hmm. Right? So I could go right after the ankle and then see what happens. But then what I do is I think to myself, now that I know that that foot needs blood flow, and it needs blood flow in, blood flow out, and the nerves in the ankle go all the way to my lower back, and then they respond to how my brain works.
Yep.
So then I'm going to look higher up, and because I know that that's where it comes from. And one place that I'm probably going to check, if anything hurts in your ankle, as I'm going to tell you all the time, you need to check the crease of your groin on both sides, but check the painful ankle side first, because that's usually going to be really tight and tender and blocked because it's so tight. Mm-hmm. Why is it so tight? Well, maybe this person sit all day long, or they've had a prior injury up in their hip years ago that is gone, but it's still there. If you get my drift, right? So if I go and I take care of your groin first, if it's tight and tender and restricted with the blood flow down and out, and then I go to your ankle, it's a completely different treatment. Because now what I do to your groin influences the foot,
right? Yes.
And if I do your foot first, it's different if I go back up to the groin second, even though they're the same two spots.
Yes.
If you switch the order in those, I'm going to contend that you're going to get a completely different result.
Yep.
That's how physiology works, right? It's called dynamical systems theory is the actual name for it. It basically says what you did before what you just did determines what you get.
Right.
So, physiology has to react to the inputs that you put into it. Input, then output.
Yep.
So those two spots don't have a linear relationship with each other. It's not one and two. It goes to things you can't even calculate, right? And then for me, so now that you know that, you're like, oh my God, so how do you even know where the hell to start? Well, for me, it all comes down to understanding how fluids flow in the body, because when you can understand how fluids flow in the body, it changes everything about what you do. Why? Because fluids are how you get everything that you need anyway. Right?
Yes. Yes.
All the stuff that we want to influence from someone has to happen in a fluid mechanism. That's why you're mostly water. Right.
Right.
70-80% water, something like that. So if you're dehydrated, you've already got an issue of a problem with flow, because your blood automatically becomes thicker because it's a lot of water in the blood. And when blood becomes thicker, you know, that changes everything in relationship to how stuff moves in the body.
Yep.
That's the person who says, that's the craziest thing, doc, but you know, I stopped drinking the soda and the coffee, like you suggested, and I just started drinking water. I'm feeling so much better and I'm sleeping so much better. Could it really be that much of a big deal? Yeah, it can be.
Yes. Yes. Right?
And we know it, but we just don't seem to do it. Right.
Yes. A lot of people honestly just need someone like yourself to tell them that. It's not like it's lost on them that being hydrated is important. But it's like you said, in the world of social media and the internet, and everyone has all this information at their fingertips, which is amazing on one hand, and on another, though, it makes things super confusing. So everyone's going after the zebras and this new crazy product or protocol or device that's going to save them, when like, man, start with hydration and grounding and sleep and see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's hard to gain followers when you say just sleep and drink water and breathe. Yeah. You're like, oh, really? I'm going to go somewhere else that's more exciting. Well, you can, but you're going to be back, because that's what you need to do. And it reminds me of, you know, I love to watch those old school kind of martial arts movies, kung fu movies, the hero's journey kind of thing, if you will. And
yeah,
the guy is the young one who wants to study with the all-knowing master on the mountain. And he gets up there and he's looking at it, show me what the secret is. And the master gets doing all these boring wax on, wax off, sand the floor, paint the fence, carry the water, you know, like, why do I have to do this? I'm not learning anything. They don't have wisdom yet. And it's only in the end that they realize, wow, master, I get it now. So I'm trying to save you that journey to tell you that that's what you need to do.
Yes. Make it a little less painful.
It's like a checklist, honestly. So when I see people, I tell them that I need to check all those boxes off to see if you're even doing them, because if you're not, you need to start. But if you are doing them, that's fantastic, because now I know it's a box I don't have to look at anymore. And they're like, I'm doing all those things, doc, but I'm still not where I need to be. And I'm like, great. Because now we know that's the path of not here, what I call it, which means you didn't waste your time. You needed to do those. But now I know that I can look somewhere else, because I can tell you that if you don't have those basics down and then you go after the something else, that something else may help you, but it's not going to stick. No way in the world is it going to.
Or it might make you feel worse.
Yeah, it usually does. And, you know, you find that when people come in to see me, if I just give a small checklist of the basics for them to do and not be overwhelmed with the 30 things that they're doing. Wow, that's all I had to do. And so I keep kind of going back to the same playbook all the time, honestly. So in my world, a big part of that basics and fundamentals are your blood flow and your lymphatics. If you don't own that, if I don't remove some of those obstructions or tensions or blockages that you have, that you don't know that you have, you're going to struggle. And what I try to teach people is that you're probably going to have the bigger restrictions and the bigger blocks far away from where your pain is. But they don't look there. Why? Because it doesn't hurt. And then I'm going to ask them, how do you know it doesn't hurt? And I said, there's really one easy way to find out. I want you to push your fingers right here and press. And if it hurts, that's inflammation. You need to work there. That's back to the foot, for instance. Doc, my right foot has been, nobody can fix my right foot. So blah, blah. Then I go up and then I press into that groin and they want to punch me in the face.
And they probably had no idea it hurt.
Nope, they didn't. And then I press all the other places to see. And sometimes it's the other side. It's not the one on the right. So the right ankle hurts. It's not the right groin that hurts. And then, but I go over to the left one. And then they go, holy cow, I had no idea. And I said, yeah, here's the thing. You didn't consciously have any idea that it hurt, but your brain has always known that it hurts. It's subconscious. It's dealing with that data all day long, and it's trying to move around so you don't feel it, because it doesn't want you to feel it. It's only going to send that to you last. Right?
That's the last mayday, but they've been compensating for how long?
Yeah, maybe it just chose to show it in your right foot. As opposed to there, because right foot hurts too, for sure. And your left groin can hurt too, but I got news for you. In a hierarchy of pain, your groin pain is going to hurt way more than your foot. I can tell you that much. Right? Because that's a really sensitive, highly protective area. Why? Because you got a lot of blood flow there, man. You get that femoral artery, you're dead in about 30 seconds. That's it. So you're hardwired to protect that at all costs. So the way I look at the body is your brain has to make a decision. Am I going to throw Perry some stuff in his groin, or am I going to throw it in his foot?
Yep.
Probably going to throw it in his foot. Right?
Yep.
And then you have to look for the other ones. So that's why you have to do a full body assessment, full body examination. And then when you understand flow, you know that if the groin is blocked, foot can't get what it needs in, can't get what it needs out. And I don't care what you do to your damn foot. You can play with that foot all day long. But if you're blocked higher up,
that's
what's going to come back. Foot's going to come back. It's going to come
back. Now, before we wrap things up, I'd love to get, can you give our listeners like two things they could do on a daily or weekly basis to help their lymph flow, help get that stuff moving?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I'll give you a couple. Mm-hmm. So two things move your lymphatic system primarily. One is movement, like just moving more of you in a lot of different ways.
Yep.
So I usually tell people just to do a little bit of standing in place, kind of jumping up and down a little bit on the balls of your feet, like you're on a little mini trampoline. You don't need to buy a trampoline. You got them built in. They're called calves, right? But I would encourage you not to jump completely off the ground and land on it, because that can be really tough to people that don't do that. It can cause issues with your ankle, your knee, your hip, and your back. So it's just like you're doing really turbocharged.
More like bouncing.
Yeah, like many bouncing in there, stuff like that. And so that's one. And the other one is just breathing more in through your nose and out through your nose than your mouth. The reason you want to do that is that sends more pressure down into the abdomen. So you can move your organs more because your diaphragm moves more. And when you move your abdomen, guess what you move? Fluid is what you move. And then people say, what fluid? And then my answer is always the same. Yes, all of it. Okay. Lymph and blood.
Yes.
Those are where the biggest pipes of fluids reside in the body. So you don't want that area stagnant.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you got chronic pain, it is. You just don't know it.
Yep.
Right? And so you do that. But one of the places that you want to do before you do all that is to just try to open one of the most important places in the body that I tell people to work, because you have a lot of tension there, a lot of tightness in there, and a lot of pressure builds up. And it's where the lymph wants to drain. So I'm going to give you what it looks like, the letter Y when you do it. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to do the Y symbol and massage in there and tap in there and release in there. And I'll tell you how to do it. You've got a collarbone on the right, a collarbone on the left, otherwise known as your clavicle. That's where what they call the thoracic inlet. And stuff comes in above the collarbone there. A lot of blood flow. And the blood flow to your brain comes up that way. That's a huge spot, right?
Yes.
It gets tight in a lot of people. And sometimes it gets puffy and it gets swollen. So the collarbone is the top of the Y. Right?
Yes.
So all I want you to do is take your fingers and rub and massage above the collarbone on one side. And stay on the same side, rub above the collarbone, then go underneath the collarbone and rub. So keep things above and underneath, all along the whole collarbone.
Okay. Yep.
You go light, you go deep, you just go what's comfortable, and you do it for 20, 30 seconds. Then do the same on the other side. So both sides, it doesn't matter which side you do first, but I want you to do both. Okay.
Okay.
And you may notice that one side is surprisingly more tender than the other. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the top of the Y. The bottom of the Y is the sternum.
Yeah.
So all I want you to do is just start to tap all along your sternum from below the throat all the way down to where it begins to end at the bottom. When you get to the bottom, you're going to feel this big thing sticking out. This is called your xiphoid process. Just be careful of that, because that can be tender. Try to stay up on the bone. You can tap with your fingers, your knuckles, your palm, or whatever. And I actually want you to try to massage a little bit in your sternum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to work that why. And what that's going to do is it's going to open up the flow to everything, nice. Clear up some of the tension and the tightness in the fascia, the connective tissue. Now, let's cycle back to what I told you before about it's the order that you do things that makes a difference on yes. how well it works. You could do all those three things, but I'm going to tell you the order I want you to do it in.
Great.
What I want you to do is to start breathing in and out through your nose as you rub your collarbone. And yep. as you tap your sternum, then after that, I want you to stand up or be there and then jump up and down on the balls of your feet.
Nice.
As you continue to breathe in and out through your nose, right?
Yes.
Now, if you really want to go turbo, you can bounce, breathe, and rub all at the same time.
Yeah. yeah. If you want the advanced level.
Yeah, this but I even awesome. Tell you to rub and open the why. You want to open those spaces up first, yep. get the flow to start to move.
Yes.
Move the pressure in and out with your breathing and then doing a little bouncing in there. And here's why that's sense. Very helpful. Very few people actually bounce up and down at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's really good for your organs and it's really good for your inner ear vestibular system for balance system. When that yeah. system doesn't work well, that increases your stress response, which can cause pain because your balance is poor. Then you're breathing in and out through your nose, which most people don't do because they breathe through their yep. mouth too much. So that changes pressure and that moves fluid, and you're rubbing three areas of the body that nobody ever pays attention to for one reason, and you already know what it is. It doesn't hurt. So now you're hitting
they know of.
Big powerful things that yes. right there, when you're done, you can get you most people will say, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen, man. I can't believe how much better I feel just from doing those three things. It can't
so
be
cool.
that easy. Oh my. Yes, it can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. I love that. I found my new.
While you're doing it.
I'm going to do that in my sauna. That'll be good.
Yeah. So you start to stack these things like that, yep. right? And then people... If you explain to people and give them meaning of why they're doing what they're doing, they'll do it. Just telling them to do it because it's information ain't going to change the behavior or a habit or a ritual for someone. There has to be some meaning behind it. So when I explain that, this is why I want you to rub here for the flow and what sits here. They'll be like, wow, I get it. That makes sense, right?
I totally agree. There's got to be the educational context.
Well, that's powerful, right? Because, you know, one of the things that can cause pain is not knowing uncertainty and lack of information, because that's very stressful to not know what's going on. It's actually the number one stressor to the human nervous system is uncertainty and not knowing. So then you give them the why. Right. The Simon Sinek said, you know, it starts with why. Great book that everybody should have that. And oh, I get it. So then that can decrease pain. Why? Because you're also having a sense of control. You're actually empowered and you're doing something on your own to make a difference. And then
the tangible physical thing they're doing to impact their health on a daily basis, which is so important.
Yeah. Exactly. And that one right there is a fundamental and a basic that I tell people, you should do that one every single day of your life.
Yep. Love it. And it's easy to do, you know, it doesn't take a ton of time. You don't need anything fancy.
Well, that's the key too, is, you know, you give somebody something easy to start with, then they feel empowered because they're like, well, that wasn't so difficult. But they notice some changes too, right? And then you get them kind of like, oh, and I'll do a little bit more. Can you give me a little bit more to do? This is the what I learned in neuroscience is the brain doesn't make big leaps, doesn't make big steps. It does tiny steps, one next logical step here. So you can't give somebody too many things and say, you're here and we're going over to Z today. And that's going to work, right? Yeah, I just got to take you to B. But sometimes that can be terrifying for people. I'd say, all I want you to do is just move off of A today. All that means is just do something differently than you did yesterday. And then you'll be one step closer to something. Maybe it won't be B. Maybe you'll be over to H. Maybe you're going to a different letter altogether, or it'll take you in a direction you never even thought about going, but you weren't going to get there and took your foot off of A. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's change. That's difference. But what I learned is also change is necessary, but change is terrifying.
Yes. Yeah. So baby steps for a lot of people is the way to go. But then, you know, there's some people that I've seen patients like this, I'm sure you have as well, that they're also just so ready. They're like, give me all the things, I'm all in, you know, which is also kind of fun and refreshing when people are that place. But I agree, a lot of people need to start with like one thing at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I also think from the research then that the brain is horrific at multitasking, even though you tell yourself you can do it.
Yeah.
You can tell yourself that all day long, but that's not what's happening. You have to focus on one thing and you have more awareness.
Yeah. And
I think it was something, I think it was Thomas Myers who does the anatomy trains. He said, you know, fast we do what we know, like because it's ingrained in us, so you can do it fast.
Yep.
But something new, you have to go slower.
Yes.
Slower is where you form some more awareness and newer patterns. So that's something you need to pay attention to, is that people will rush into things very quickly because it's easy for them to do that. Slowing down takes a lot more presence and attention. Mm-hmm. But people get really bored. They get bored quick when they're like that. They don't want to slow down.
Yep. That's what most people need.
Yeah. Well, that's the Kolff Moshe Feldenkrais, why it works so well. It's all about awareness and slow and intention and attention and really paying attention to what your body is telling you. And you don't have to do 50 reps. Just give me like 2 or 3.
Yep. Where you really pay attention. To say, even, I mean, with movement, I think most people would understand that. Like, man, how much harder is it to do a super slow and controlled squat than just pump through it without thinking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was Scott Sonnen who says speed hides need.
Yep.
So they move quickly through things they're trying to cover up. So you'll go fast, hopefully that somebody didn't see it, right? But it can also work both ways. You can go really fast because you own it. So how do you know that? How do you know you own it? Well, I'm going to slow it down and see if you own it when you do it slow. That's how I'm going to know. It's like a single leg stance. One of the fundamental assessments that I have everybody do is take their shoes off, put their feet together, stand, raise one knee up in the air and balance on one leg.
Yep.
And I'm just going to see if they can do it. Most people can't do it because they have poor balance, which is one of the reasons they got pain that can happen.
Yep.
And I just see which side they choose to go to first, because that tells me the side that they didn't want to go to. So I know they're a good side or a bad side.
And then
they do it. And then I'm going to tell them to slow it down. And then you watch them freak out. So you can really see a lot of stuff when you pay attention to how the body moves, when you know that the body is always going to want to try to do the best it can with what it's got in the moment it's in.
Yep.
Understand the strategies for that. You can see a lot of stuff when you look at somebody doing movement.
Yep. I love it. All right, Perry. Well, thank you so much for your time today. So many helpful tips.
It was a lot of fun. Went by fast as always.
It always does. I know. Like, how's it been? Almost an hour and a half. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, I didn't ramble on too much on stuff, and my accent didn't come out too much with my passion today.
I didn't hear too much twang, so I think we hit a.
I didn't say y'all yet. Y'all make sure you jump good, up and down. Yeah.
I will jump up. Yes. Exactly. Everyone go jump up and down, rub your collarbones, do it every day. Let us know how you feel. We will, of course, link to all of your wonderful offerings and courses. You have your own podcast, so there's endless ways for you guys to learn more if you'd like. So we'll link to all of that stuff. And
thank you.
Thanks so much again, Doc.
Thank you very much, Doc. I'll have coffee with you anytime.
That's right. Well, tea for you.
Yes. Well, we won't tell anybody if I sneak a coffee, right?
It's all good. Thanks again.
The statements in this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA. Information provided here and products recommended or sold on coffeewiththedocs.com and or our podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided by this site and or by this podcast is not a substitute for a face-to-face consultation with your physician and should not be construed as medical advice of any sort. By using any of this information or reading it, you are accepting responsibility for your own health and health decisions and expressly release Dr. Nicole Huffman and Dr. Abby Kramer and its partners and guests from any and all liability whatsoever, including that arising from negligence.